Welcome to Never Stop Building, where we discuss all things business, growth, and leveling up to become the most elite version of yourself. We're here to challenge fear and shatter doubt. Let's dive in.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Never Stop Building. I am Sam Kaufman, and I am grateful as fuck to be talking to you right now. Today is Monday. For you, it's Wednesday, more than likely. That's release day, but today is Monday for me. And we had it's the first Monday in December. So we had our monthly all staff meeting at On the Level. And I walked in and I didn't have a major agenda for the meeting this morning. We were going to share a win, which is how we start every meeting, one personal, one professional win, touch on core values. That happens at almost every meeting. We brought on a new product and service offering to simplify some things for our customers going into 2023. So we're going to bring that up. But I didn't have like a major agenda or expectation, just regular all staff meeting. And I walked in, the meeting's at 9. I got there like 8:45 with Amanda. And there were six or seven people in the conference room. And by the time 9 o'clock hit and everybody had trickled in, I had realized that we have like 16 or 17 total team members now. And I've had this many team members before. Actually, I had more. And a lot of you have heard this story about having a business in two cities, doing completely different service offerings, and how that ended up becoming almost my company's downfall, because we had grown too fast, too big, and we racked up this, well, we didn't, but one of our clients racked up a massive invoice and didn't pay it. And so, and again, I'm not going to tell that story right now. I've told that story 1,000 times. Find another episode. I'm sure it's there. And if you don't find another episode, I'm sure I will talk about it again and you will hear about it. But right around that time, I had to shut down that second city. I had to lay some people off. I had to make some incredibly hard decisions that really, really pained me. I had never had to do anything like that before. And it hurt. You know, entrepreneurs don't start businesses to let people go, and look, it's different if you're firing somebody because they do not belong on your team for whatever reason that might be, versus laying people off because you're shutting something down because you made some big mistakes. So if you've never been there, great. I am grateful for you that you have not had to go through that, but I have, and it hurts. So I walked in the meeting this morning. And we're back up to significant staff size. So when I shut down that branch, we had in total, we were in roughly mid-20s of total staff. And today I looked around and we had 17 people. And we're doing three times the revenue and like 5x profitability from where we were at that point. And I'm going to get into like the team building and culture part of this conversation here in a minute, but I really had to take a step back and give so much credit to learning to what actually happens when you learn how to run a fucking business. It's actually not that hard to increase top line revenue and hire a bunch of people. That's not actually that complicated. Not when you're halfway decent at sales, which I am more than halfway decent, but it's not that hard. What is hard, or more accurately, what takes a completely different skill set is learning how to strategically grow and run a company. And so when I looked around the room, and like I did the math and there was more yearly payroll in that room than we did in revenue that year that I had to shut that branch down and lay a bunch of people off. And so I want to talk a little bit about what growing too fast in the wrong direction can do to you, and what growing in accordance with your mission in the right direction can do for you. So the meeting started, and we started with, we have a win wall in the conference room where everybody once a week writes down on a post-it note a win that they had from the week prior. It could be personal, professional, it does not matter. There are no rules on the win wall. It just has to be a win. But everybody stick a win up there and then share a win. And as we're going around the room, I'm hearing things like, this job has given me the opportunity to quit my second job, and I'm making enough money now that I can go home. I'm spending more time with my family. Somebody else has just spent the weekend, long weekend with their son, and introduced their son to their girlfriend for the first time. Another one is coming up on a year sober next week. And this just continues around the room. And I'm becoming overwhelmed with gratitude. Like, and what's incredible is like I'm not doing this, right? Like, I'm not the sole like person responsible for the effect that this company is having on people. It's all the other people in the company, being a true testament to what building a legitimately healthy company culture will do for your company. And that is, and it's painful to do. There's a lot of, you know, like, I'm a huge core value guy. I talk about it all the time. It's constantly in my content. It's the first thing I ask clients when we onboard them for coaching. Hey, what are your core values? Great. You have them written down. Do you actually live by them? And not like, do you expect other people to live by them? Do you yourself live by these values? Like, yes or no? Because if not, they are either the wrong values or you need to step up your game. So I'm a big proponent of core values. And it is so incredible to me to see that come to fruition yet again through another growth and expansion year after changing so much over the last 12 months inside the organization. And I became overwhelmed with gratitude. I put a picture on Instagram and Facebook, both at Sam Kaufman Official, if you're not following me there yet. And I took a photo, took a selfie with everybody behind me, and I was just so happy because everybody just looked so happy. And like, not because it's the best company in the world to work for or because like construction doesn't still suck sometimes. They were happy and sharing wins about their personal lives, but they were proud and happy of these things and sharing them at work. So like, as you know, I'm not the biggest proponent of the word balance, though I do think balance is important. Even the Bible talks about balance. Just not a huge fan of using it and sharing it in the context when we talk about work and life, because I'm a much bigger fan of harmony. But to me, the definition of work-life harmony is exactly what happened this morning. It's people coming to work, not hiding a piece of themselves, sharing who they really are and what the win really is. And to me, that's the environment I always dreamt of creating. But what it took, and this is real right now, what it took was a leveling up on a personal level to a level at which that I had to hit in order to lead the way for the other leaders in the organization to create this environment and culture of honesty and vulnerability and integrity that I watched this morning in that meeting. And it was wild for me. I'm still sort of like, it's still just swirling around in my brain. And so what's like really interesting to me is like, there was a guy I met there. We brought on an extremely skilled guy, super grateful to have him. We hired him 4 weeks ago, and today was the first day I met him. And like, what was amazing was that he was exactly who I was told that he was. He was the exact culture fit that I was under the impression that he was. And it was just like, it was like, man, like it, like it's all happening. The culture speaks for itself. When you build the right culture of people, it does what it needs to do. It pushes people who don't fit quite properly away from leadership positions, away from management positions, away from the team as a whole. And it brings and it attracts. My operations manager said to me a couple of weeks ago, he's like, man, like, I really appreciate you like hunting all these skilled, amazing people we've hired. And I said, dude, I'm not hunting anybody. Like, we are attracting team members right now. We're attracting people with our content, with the way that we're treating our staff. Like, they're talking about this. This extremely skilled guy that we just hired was a referral from another extremely skilled guy that we hired 2 months prior to that. It was his old mentor. Like, that's the kind of attraction that you can create. You can become an industry leader through team building. Remember, like, whatever your company does, like, you're not your product and service. You are your team. You are the people that you bring into the fold. You are selling, like, your sales team is selling the people who are going to care for your clients during the production phase. And I'm not just talking about construction. This is anything. It's no different than Winrate Consulting and how they're selling the coaching as a program, but you're selling the coach has to then produce. You have to have the right people, and the best people are heavily attracted to the team and the environment and the culture. And man, I was just so overwhelmed with gratitude because we've grown this year. We've grown over 300% this year alone. And let me tell you, it has been so painful at times. We have had moments of, man, how are we going to get all of this done? We have spent money we didn't have at the time to bring in, you know, subcontractor help to complete customer projects on time because we were falling behind. We've had every challenge that we could have imagined and 10 that we didn't come up over the last like 9 months of this heavy growth. But when I looked around the room this morning, I was able to take a breath of fresh air and realize that it's all working. And 2023 is currently just set up to be such a wonderful year. And this year was such a wonderful year. It was just so full of growing pains and challenges, both personally and professionally, all of which I am grateful for. But as I looked around the room, I saw firsthand that the team that we have is the team that we're going to grow another 25% next year with. Absolutely. Maybe one will leave and two will join, or three will leave and one will join. Who knows? Who knows? What I do know for a fact is that the value and structure in which you build your organization and your team will be the defining factor with who stays and who goes. So if you want the great people who fit your culture and are the best performers to stay on your team, you better have a culture of greatness, performance, and integrity. And that culture starts with you as the leader. That's how this all really started, was I went on a journey of growing and more so evolving. I went on a journey of evolution. And in that journey, when we fine-tune the core values, I led from the front in the way that I exactly expected these to be executed on. Exactly expected them to be executed on. I hold myself accountable and I hold myself to a standard that is higher than my team holds themselves to on purpose. I will continue to set the standard for that team for as long as I am a part of that team. I will continue to always do that. And so this was this just wonderful, really just wonderful gratitude-filled moment. And it was so nice. It was so nice. And we had a good meeting and I really just couldn't be more grateful. But the point and the intention of what I'm talking about right now comes down to culture building. It's never too late to build culture, and it's always the right time. And so I want to share about, oh, and also, like, our core values, these things are written on a Google Doc. It's got some nice like pictures. It's not completely unprofessional, but I've seen so many companies, they present these wonderfully graphic designed onboarding packets and employee handbooks and core values and all this shit. And core values are up on really expensive print on the wall, and nobody lives by any of them. And so I don't want you to be one of those people that overvalues the presentation of your culture and undervalues the execution of your culture. The way in which you behave, how you talk, and what you do supersede any wonderfully, beautifully designed bullshit that you can think of, imagine, or pay somebody to create. It's not important. It's not important. Is it nice? Sure. Is it necessary? No. I've never found it necessary to invest money in all that crap. what I found it necessary to invest money in was personal development for myself. That's what set the stage for so much of this. I actually believe so much in personal development and investment in coaching and leadership development that I'm at. Coaching is being added as a line item budget to the business for two of our key leadership team members for next year. This is real. This is real stuff. We're going to keep growing, but we're going to do it from the inside out. We're going to grow our people, which will grow our customer base, our service offering, and our production capability. We will increase efficiency and become more profitable through people and developing them into leaders. And that is what I would like to encourage you to do as well. Growth and development should be the priority in your leadership and your training, especially with key team members. This is a big change from 3 years ago. In 2020, which was the year, that was that winter that we got screwed out of that large invoice. In 2019, we made our big expansion into the second city. And we added a whole new service offering, a very high-end custom service offering to our docket, a service offering in which I knew nothing about and didn't spend any time learning anything about. Also a problem, just in case you're a business owner or a team leader, you should know a little bit about your product before you sell it. Just throwing that out there. At least when we added bathrooms this year, I actually went on a deep dive on figuring out the system of doing that ahead of time. So yeah, I give my, you know, that's a change. That was a change for 2019. But anyway, so 2019, up to that point, we were a seven-figure company, low seven-figure. I figure I'll expand into another city. I'll immediately, you know, if I do the same thing there I did here, I'll add another seven figures, easy or more, to the revenue stream. Everything will be great. Wrong. Not how that works. 1 + 1 does not equal 2 when you plant yourself as a business in other places. It is not how that works in all scenarios. So come 2020, obviously you all know what happened. And so things are shifting and changing. And what was going on in the second city was the person that I had brought on to run that city and grow that team did not fit core values and was a dick. And so we did not see eye to eye on a lot. We saw eye to eye on all the wrong things, and we did not agree on all the right things. And so one day I became blatantly aware, this was right at the end of 2019, towards the end of that year, and it became blatantly clear that this person did not fit my core values at all whatsoever. And this was like before our core values were such an ingrained and important part of our business, but I was still an integrity over money guy. I've always been an integrity over money guy. I've just also always struggled with greed, insecurity, and fear, and doubt, and poverty, right? So like I haven't been a bad person, but I've still struggled with things that I didn't work through. It took working through them to be the man that I'm on the way to being and am now. Anyway, so I drove down to that other city and I let that dude go. I let him go right there in the middle of the day, while he was near a job site. And I ripped that Band-Aid off hard. I made that hard call, but I was left with a branch with nobody to run it. And so I asked this dude, one of my best people in the city that we're in now, if he would stay down there for a couple of weeks, finish up the jobs we had while we figured out what the hell we were going to do. And he did. And in that, we ended up finding another client. And this was the client that ended up screwing us. But for like a good 10 months before that, they were paying really good money for what we offered. We thought we had like a real big shot here to do something and build something different. But in 2020, split between two cities and everything that had gone on, our culture was weak. And our culture was weak to the point where things were just disconnected. People were disconnected. Nothing was making sense. People were stuck at home. We were in two cities. I was driving back and forth between them 2, 3, 4 times a week. It was a lot. There's a lot going on trying to figure that all out. What I didn't do at that time was focus and prioritize relationships and people and culture. I focused and prioritized how much money I could make. I was just constantly trying to protect money, one city to the other city, one city. And at the same time, I had like gotten my real estate license. I was going to go do that. And so shiny object, like when people talk about shiny object, like I could really like run you through what that looks like and how it can legitimately take you out. Seriously. So the summer of 2020, this is about a year into all of this culture falling apart and this, that, and the other thing. A person who had been with me since day one of the company decides that they're going to quit. This was honestly phenomenal news. He was about to lose his job anyway. Things were real bad. He hadn't fit in the beginning. I grew in one direction. He didn't at all, really. And he said he was going to quit. And I was like, great. Sounds good. You know, I was actually on vacation at the time. And he called, hey, can you talk? I was like, hey, man, I'm on vacation with my family. Can it wait? He was like, no, I got to do it now. Which, you know, of course, everything's now. But I was glad we had the conversation. He said he was leaving. He was going to do something else. I had to move on. It was great. Fine. Cool. Five people walked with him. Five people walked at that exact, not with him, like, to go do what he was doing, but over the course of the next 45 days, or it was five total. So him and then four people quit, one after the next, after the next, after the next. And I learned firsthand why they talk about when you let a cancer stay too long, when you don't focus on your culture and people, the actual mass effect that has on your team. We were not prepared to lose five total people. And it's like, and three of the five were like producers. Like they were like lead team members in the field. Didn't see this coming. And I knew why it happened when it happened, but I didn't see it coming. And that was the moment that I call it the mass exodus of the summer, fall of 2020, because that was the moment that I dove into what I had not taken that seriously up to that time, which was core values. I dove into the science and psychology of culture building on a team. And I spent that following year really figuring out, honing in on what the core values were going to be. It was the 2021 spring. I hired a coach, my first coach, and, you know, all that other stuff. But I spent that next 12 months really diving into reading and following like the Simon Sinek and like paying attention to Gary Vee and how he talks about people. And I have a bunch of books over here on the bookshelf regarding humans, relationships, people, psychology. And I dove in really hard and I was like, I'm never going to let this happen again. Now, fast forward to today. What's amazing to me, what I did not expect, but I'm grateful to see, is on the other side of that, when the culture is so strong and the team is so strong, the level of attraction that takes place between people who are highly skilled is incredible to me. And so there's like this reaction happening now where like the fact that we have a highly skilled person who suggested to his mentor who trained him how to do all this to come be a part of, I mean, I couldn't have told you that I saw that coming. I just couldn't have. And I'm so grateful for it. And what it's really, really, really telling me, like without any shadow of a doubt, is that all this stuff that I have been shouting to y'all about core values and strength of culture and team building is so much more powerful than I even thought that it was. And I know that this is going to continue to grow and things are going to continue to evolve. I could just tell by this morning. And I'm not saying that we're out of the woods on challenges and that 2023 is going to be an easy year. And but 2022 was the year of development and culture. In 2023, we're really going to buckle down on fine-tuning procedures and increasing profit margins so we can set up healthy cash flow and budgets for 2024 to figure out how to make this thing at this growth with this size sustainable forever. That's where I'm at right now, is working through what 2024 looks like so that 2028 is good for everybody that is a part of this team. But I really wanted to share with you, like, I was really, truly, like, this was not planned for today for this episode. I just was so grateful in the meeting and I was like, I have to talk about this. But it really opened my eyes for the rest of today to a few really what I believe to be super key points regarding culture, both on the negative effects side and the reality that the positive effects are beyond what you would expect. The negative effects are exactly what you would expect. Cancers affect other people. People end up underperforming. The toxicity spreads. Multiple people leave. You have to replace them. And it's that kind of, now on the worst side case scenario there, you affect customers really negatively. You develop a bad reputation. Eventually you can lose your business. That's real. We don't talk about that like a ton for some reason, just in the business and entrepreneurial community. Like, we like to talk about the successes much more than we like to talk about the risk. I think that's great. But I will tell you that the actual worst case scenario for culture problems is you will lose your business out from under you. That can actually happen. Your reputation can be damaged so far to the point where you're done and have to start over. Your business can be so inefficient that you can actually run out of money permanently. No more to borrow, no more to beg for, no more to get, and you can lose your business. That's the actual reality of business ownership and growth and scaling. But on the other side of that, you can end up with more great team members who want the company to be profitable and successful and want each other to be profitable and successful and happy and developed than you could have ever imagined possible. And we're doing it in interior renovation, watching Mike do it at Winrate, and I watch friends and colleagues do it all over the place. But if we can do it in interior remodeling and construction, which is notoriously bad for people, culture. Man, if I hear labor shortage one more time, this industry doesn't have a labor shortage, ladies and gentlemen. This industry has a leadership shortage. There are plenty of people with hands and brains and capability and the desire to learn something and do it well. There is a scarcity of people willing to lead them, train them, bring them into the fold, and give them an opportunity. Be the leader willing to bring someone in and give them an opportunity and let them be a part of a culture. If we can show the parents that this industry is worth being in, we can change the stigma that kids are taught that failures go into construction. I'm going to repeat that for y'all. If we can show the parents, you and me, the parents, that this is a good, great industry to be involved in, we can change the stigma over time. It would inspire more people to enter this industry and learn something amazing, like a trade. Thank you all for listening. I'll talk to you next week.